This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington, Spokane Valley. Once again, brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, this is the year we make freedom a reality because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Jeremiah 6:16 reminds us, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And I wish that everyone in this country could take that verse to heart, especially with everything we are currently facing in the world. And there's a lot. I mean, I think some people are all of a sudden waking up to the fact that things really are what we have been saying they are for years now. I don't know really, you know, if it's the Hillary Clinton thing that did it. I think it was that people now just realize that there is just an audacious push to destroy this republic. Wide open in the public view, not hidden anymore. And I think that we can use the emotion that is here now and channel people's energies into productive things, specifically local races. I'm going to be talking about a couple of those here in a bit. And these are key races for conservatives in the state of Washington. But in the bigger picture, there are a couple things that I think we need to learn. And one of them is very simple. It is called Lex Rex. Lex Rex. Now, it's Latin, very simply, for the law is king. Not the king is law. And really, in our country today, that's what we're seeing happen, that government is above the law. That those of us that want to restore a God-honoring constitutional republic, a republic that worked very well for a very long period of time, really see now that there are an elite ruling class of elected officials and bureaucrats that are above the law. And they can do violations of the law like the EPA did destroying that Colorado River and never find any sort of repercussion happen to them. They can shoot Lavoie Finicum in the back without an arrest warrant, set up a dead man's roadblock without an arrest warrant, violating virtually every protocol that is out there. They can shoot at his vehicle, shoot at him with his hands up. And they're not held accountable. Well, sure, there's an investigation. There's an investigation. There's always an investigation. But now, apparently, the standard is we can write in intent into the law, criminal intent that you had to mean to hurt somebody. And a lot of times that's not the case. It's just recklessness, carelessness, gross negligence in the case of Hillary Clinton that causes these things. And I think what's most frustrating for people all over the country is I think people just didn't want to believe it was true that there was this elite ruling class that was above the law. And here it is right in our faces. And for those of you that own businesses, you've seen bureaucrats come in. Now, there are some good ones out there. There are some listening to Patriot Radio right now. And then there are some bureaucrats that literally try to meet quotas, try to find things wrong with your business when they audit it. They're elected officials who use the IRS as a tool of political retribution that can abuse laws that they try to prosecute and do prosecute ordinary Americans for violating every day. You know, Joe Robertson, he dug a pond he had a permit for. There is no contamination happening, and yet the EPA comes in and treats him like a criminal. I mean, this is a guy who just wants to be in the woods and be left alone with his dog and his family. And here, the EPA destroys an entire river. Not a pond, a river. Nothing happens. Gross mismanagement of our forests in Northeast Washington. Thousands and thousands of acres burned. Cattle lost. Because of that gross mismanagement, and no one is held accountable. And as I've said on the radio before, that there was that one fire. You know, they saw it start. They called and said you needed to get an airstrike in there because there is no an airdrop in there because there is no roads back there. And if you do, you'll stop it. They didn't, and it burns for thousands of acres. And folks, this is the point that I want to make about all of this. There are people out there that intentionally want to destroy this country. They want to destroy our republic. Then there are people who are not very well read, who don't like to think, and who just go along to get along with these people that want to destroy the country. And they're just as bad. They're just as guilty. And we have to wake up that our favorite elected officials may not be who they seem they are. You got to look at actions. Who's actually standing on the front line? Who's actually sponsoring the legislation to restore God-honoring constitutional republic? Who is actually helping people and standing with the people in the gap when the government tries to come after them? And there's not going to be a perfect person out there. And honestly, like I start the show off with, this is not about men. It's about Jesus Christ. That's where our hope needs to lie. But we have to have good and great discernment over who these people really are. And I think that, you know, it's time to wake up. These people really think they are better than you. They really have a plan to try to destroy this country. That is literally what they want to do. That's why none of this stuff makes sense. That's why there's forest mismanagement. It doesn't make sense. Why would you not manage the forest? It could bring jobs in. And it's good for the environment. Why would you not do that? Because their intent isn't to help the environment. Their intent is to control you and me. Their intent is to destroy the republic and replace it with a communist socialist oligarchy. And I'll be darned if the sacrifices of those men that we've lost overseas, that we've lost at all the wars that have been fought to try and keep our freedom and pass it on to the next generation, are going to be in vain. We need to wake up, folks. And if you are awake and you're like, what do? You need to join an assembly. Contact me, send me an email, Facebook message, whatever. Join an assembly. Form an assembly if you don't have one in your county. And we need to truly defend freedom locally. There are some really, really bad people out there, folks, and they are taking advantage of the generosity and the kindness of ordinary Americans. And we cannot afford to be ignorant and naive anymore. We can't. Which brings us to the international front. Once again, the massive deployment of U.S. naval assets to the South China Sea still going underreported. The Chinese obviously don't like that. And we just need to keep our eyes on it and see where this is going to head, because such a deployment of U.S. military assets is something. And I understand that there was something happened in Taiwan today, some sort of attack or something that happened in Taiwan today, and I've been trying to get information on it most of the day, and I have not been able to, but I will update you as soon as I get it. Also, on the international front, we still have the continuing fallout of the Brexit, and it's very interesting that gold and silver is rising dramatically. And you know, really, again, I think that the globalists were dealt a blow there, but they're not gonna just lay down. They're gonna come back fighting, and they're either gonna make it so that the British are essentially and in effect still part of the European Union, even though they are officially not, or they're gonna try to force financial hardship on the British people, but they're also gonna do it on the American people. And that's something we all have to understand. They're going to do it on the American people. Also on the international front, bloodbath in Istanbul, Bangladesh, Baghdad, and ISIS mentioned one other city, San Francisco. And I hope we're taking this stuff seriously. You know, there are forces at work that people don't understand. And there's a great book on it called Disinformation by General Mihai Pacepa on where the rise of the modern Muslim Brotherhood and the offshoots came from the KGB. And that a lot of this stuff was fomented as a strategy of the Russians for the Islamic world to be a buffer against the United States. And now it's gotten totally out of control because the United States tried to weigh in and tried to influence some of these same groups, which is a dangerous, dangerous game. And regardless, we need to take this. We need to take this threat seriously because it is serious. They're not going to stop. What the Russians did is they took the existing ideology of Islam and then they tried to amplify it for their own political gain, their own national strategic gain. So I kind of get frustrated with folks who say, oh, it's not a threat. It is a threat. And the intelligence world and the facts bear it out. So I hope that, I really hope that we can move past some of this naivete and just acknowledge things for what they are. I really do. On the national front, we talked about exposing the left, unmasking the media. Lorraine Marie of the Statesman Examiner up in Colville was the first one that we've unmasked as a hardcore leftist. A little bit more information on that. Apparently, started her attacks as part of the leftist movement a long time ago, 20 years ago about. And some of the people up in Colville have provided me information on that. And it just goes to bolster the fact that here you have a longtime leftist activist, socialist, masquerading as somehow objective and then using a newspaper for their cannon against ordinary Americans who love the Constitution. So we just need to keep calling these folks out. I'm going to have another one on Monday. And this one is actually an appointed official by Obama here locally that you may not know the whole story about. Very interesting. So stay tuned for that on Facebook and then also on Tuesday on Patriot Radio. Also on the national front, we all know that Hillary Clinton has not been indicted, and now Director Comey admits that she did not tell the truth on the emails. So he admits that she lied, because that means she covered it up. Okay, let's say what it is. She covered it up. He admits that she lied on it, admits that she broke the law, admits she met all of the elements for a crime. But she really didn't mean to hurt the United States. Well, sure, you know what? Sure, she meant to set that email up clandestinely on a separate private server. Sure, she took that risk intentionally and put the risk of the national security of this country in jeopardy. She put our national security in jeopardy. She took that risk. So, yeah, she did do that intentionally. And obviously, she's not stupid. But once again, that just underscores Here we are again.
Above the law. The king is above the law. Well, also on the national front, the SPLC being debunked. We've talked about that. Now we've got a new... Now we've got a new interesting organization called Western Priorities. And they've come out with a report on so-called extremism. Once again, anybody who says that federal land should be managed by the states, as our compacts all say, I mean, as was the case all the way up until the North Dakota-South Dakota line with Montana and the late 1800s and history and literally thousands of documents to back that up. They're saying that that's extremist because we're trying to, quote, seize public land. Here's the deal, folks. They are liars. Mahler Refuge in Oregon was not public land. It was 120 private ranches confiscated, ranchers forced off their land because they wanted to take it for a refuge. So it wasn't public land, and it's such a lie. I mean, these people are just outright lying about it. And that's the same with Turnbull Wildlife Refuge. They have a map of the secondary and tertiary properties and the primary properties that they want to acquire over the next decade to create the Turnbull Wildlife Refuge. It's a gigantic refuge out there, taking private property, all of its private property. And there's a map of it. I mean, they're not hiding this. So this Western Priorities Coalition, we're gonna expose them as well, because I suspect, and it is my belief, that they are funded by George Soros. So we're gonna get to the bottom of this. And once again, we have a report against so-called right-wing extremists funded by George Soros. So you can kind of see who's trying to label us. And obviously, an admitted socialist and very candidly, horrifically terrible man, as far as character is concerned, is trying to attack us. And we're just going to, this is another arm, another tentacle that we'll expose. On the regional front, just like Hillary Clinton, the Portland police chief is still not in jail after allegedly shooting somebody accidentally while he was drunk around a fire mocking Ammon Bundy. Can't make this stuff up, folks. And 2 months later, this happened in April, 2 months later, the investigation still has not resulted in him going to jail, even though he admitted he probably fired the weapon. And there are obviously several eyewitnesses to it. Interesting. Also on the regional front, July 20th, Missoula, Montana, at the federal courthouse there, there's going to be a rally for Joe Robertson, the man that I've been talking about who just simply wanted to make a pond for his dog. I mean, oh my goodness. So we're gonna rally there in support of Joe, and also in support of the idea of freedom, and that government is not above the law, that the law is king. The king is not law. Also on the regional front, the Muslim rape of a 5-year-old girl down in Twin Falls, Idaho. The Spokesman Review debunked nationally, shown that their article was false. There was a knife involved. Even though Spokesman Review said that was a lie. The original reports were these were Syrian refugees. That was indeed wrong. But these were Muslim refugees from Iraq and Sudan. And interestingly enough, down there, we're going to get an update on this from Representative Heather Scott here in a minute. Interesting down there, this family has not been treated. I mean, they're supposed to be victims, and they have not been treated very well at all by the local elected officials. And we're going to get into that. And moving on, we'll go to the local front. Here in Spokane, a suspicious package delivered to the courthouse, opened by a bailiff. Immediately, the bailiff felt sick. It also resulted in the sickening of two other people, so three total. This package was sent to a court judge on the third floor of the courthouse, according to my sources. And they still have not released what the substance was, but obviously it was an irritant. And they have not released the condition, at least as of right now, of those people. So please keep them in your prayers. And just the world keeps getting weirder. Also on the local front, a couple of local races that I want to highlight. And one of them on this side of the broadcasting area of Patriot Radio, Mike Volz, running for the 6th Legislative District. He needs to raise about $10,000 here in the next 2 weeks. I just posted it on Facebook. He really needs our help. Anything you can spare to help get the message out. It takes a lot of money to do a mailer. I can take cost up to $8,000 to do a mailer into district. And that's really the great way to reach people and get in front of people, get the message out. And I think we want a good constitutional conservative elected once more here in this area. Also, down in the 16th Legislative District, Walla Walla Prosser, Mary Ruth Edwards running, another great constitutional conservative, city councilwoman in Prosser City Council, is in a 5-way race down there. And she needs to raise $10,000 as well in the next couple weeks so that she can do the same thing. If you get a chance, check out her Facebook page. I will also, and her website, I will post it online. Mary Ruth Edwards. And she is a great, great conservative, wonderful lady. She's a former Marine, tough as nails, and willing to take on the establishment on behalf of the people. So just a couple of local races I wanted to highlight. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for the show. And please make sure that you also turn those prayers into action. Go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And if you feel led to support the show and keep us on the air, go to VoteShea.com. It's a great way to support me and the radio show and just keep us here on the air and keep the truth out there and keep exposing all the things that are going on here in the Western United States and especially here in the American Readout. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Representative Heather Scott. She's a state rep from Idaho, one of the true champions in Idaho for constitutional conservatism. She has been a leader in helping people, stood in the way of the Veterans Administration when they tried to come after veterans' guns up in Priest River, Idaho, and they ran in fear from Heather Scott. So, Heather, thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Thanks for having me on today.
So how are you doing? A lot of things going on in Idaho.
You know, I'm almost overwhelmed. I'm just about at that point. Not quite. But with all the prayer from your group out there, I'm sure I'll keep going.
Well, prayers really are important, and you have built quite a network. It's a vaunted network. I think they get scared of you down there in Boise. Because you have the folks behind you, and that's what this is about, right? It's about the people having a voice, and it's the people being the government, not necessarily us, right?
Oh, that is so true. I knew I was coming on your show today, and I actually asked a citizen. I said, she was just going on and on about this issue down in Twin Falls, and I said, hey, will you fill in for me on the radio station? And she said, well, no, you're a legislator, you're an elected official. And I said, all power is in the people. And people don't get that. She has so much more power than I do, but she won because she's my boss, right?
Well, she is. She's all of our bosses, actually. And it's so interesting when we sit in front of an audience and we ask folks, you know, how many of you are upset with the government? And virtually everybody in the audience raises their hand. I've never been. In fact, I haven't seen an audience where they haven't had every single person raise their hand. And then you ask, well, who's the government? And there's a long pause.
Yes. It is us.
It is. So how do we – you're doing a couple things over there in Idaho. How do you help empower folks to become the government of the people again?
Well, basically, I don't let them blame me for the problems that they've allowed. And when they call me with an issue, it takes me just as long to figure out what's going on as it does them. But really, they're in charge of government. They're supposed to be doing that work and directing me on what they want me to do. My job is to vote on bills to protect them, to protect their constitutional rights. And so it's just trying to educate people that they're in the driver's seat. And as long as they don't act like it, there's lots of legislators that would like to pretend like they're in charge. And so it's basically just empowering them by the truth.
Well, it really is. And you actually have taken this and kind of broken it down into issues that people are passionate about that they can just get involved with and actually not only have their voice heard. That's important. But I think more important is to be able to provide solutions based on their own expertise. I think that's really critical.
Oh, citizens don't. They think that legislators are just so smart on every issue. And quite frankly, if there's an education issue, I call a teacher. If there's a question about taxes, I call someone that knows about taxes, an accountant. Citizens have all the knowledge and power. It's just they don't know it. So, but we're going to keep educating, and I think up north we're pretty woke up, and I think we're waking up the rest of the state. And I think that's why I have citizens from all over the state calling me, like this issue down in Twin Falls, saying, help me with this issue. Where do I go? My legislators will not listen.
It's interesting that you do get phone calls from all over the state because they know that you will listen to them and that you will give voice to what their concerns are. And so let's talk about Twin Falls. Horrific. I mean, it's one thing to have a veteran like John Arnold, you know, have the VA try to come for their guns. I mean, another completely different thing. Horrific to have a 5-year-old girl raped and then have the media act in the way that they've acted, in the stalling and devagling and obfuscating that has gone on at the local level has just been incredible. So if you could give us a little bit of an update and kind of the context of what happened down there and what's going on to help that little girl.
So I'm going to actually just give you a quick reading of an article by Breitbart News, and it was by a brave reporter, Katie McCow, and she just reiterated, a 14-year-old Sudanese refugee in Idaho, a 10-year-old Sudanese and a 7-year-old Iraqi boy attacked a girl. The younger boy stripped the white 5-year-old girl naked, touched her, urinated on her clothing and in her mouth while the older boy took pictures. And actually, he took videos. Their abuse of the child might not have continued. It might have continued except an elderly woman caught the boy taking pictures, barged in, and stopped this crime in the act of the crime. So that's overall what happened. Many citizens are just, right now it's working its way through the judicial system, but many citizens down there are crying foul because of the media tried to cover up this story. The elected officials are completely silent. Medical staff have changed their stories, and bureaucrats are really giving no answers to the victim's family on their rights, their victim's rights that are guaranteed by our Idaho State Constitution, Article 1, Section 22.
So, yeah. So literally,
I know. There's a little bit of information there, wasn't there?
But literally, you've got this. This issue should be cut and dry, right? It should be pretty simple. It should be cut and dry. Explain for the listeners a little bit about how the local elected officials have handled this or not handled this, and also a little bit about some of the other media that has been out there.
Okay, so of course, when it happened, none of the media really picked it up. So some smaller media sources picked up the story, and they of course got one fact wrong. They said it was Syrian refugees instead of Sudanese and an Iraqi refugee. So that for that reason alone, many of the media said, "Oh, this is just made up. It's not true." They came out there with every headline they can to just make this seem like it wasn't even a story. So that was a big cover-up. Right now, what's going on is none of the information, none of the public records will be released to this family and the victim. So the girl had a rape kit done on her. The parents are just trying to get the medical records to understand, does she have hepatitis? Does she have any disease? These boys urinated in her mouth, and she's being denied her medical records, so they don't even know. The family has been denied the 911 calls and the police records, which, you know, whatever reason, the prosecuting attorney can make that decision. But everyone seems to be running to this particular prosecuting attorney in the county for direction for everything with this case. The 911 calls, I'm imagining the response time was very poor. And I think it was an hour and a half, something like that, before they even respond to the 911 call. That could be a reason. They just don't want to release this because it might get more media attention. And this story does not fit the narrative that Idaho has been getting forced down our throats by the federal government, that the refugee resettlement program is fine, everyone's good, this is just a great program. And the people know better.
Well, I think the people do know better.
I mean,
and I want you to, actually, because I mean, some of this is just absolutely outrageous. You know, you had the Socialist Review up here in Spokane intentionally say, you know, that all these reports were false, when in fact the only thing that was incorrect was that these were Syrian refugees. That was the only thing that was incorrect. Well, that's messy for you. Then you have this other part of it too, that, you know, there was indeed a knife involved. And this is outrageous that the parents, I got to say, I don't know how this is not a violation of HIPAA. That's the Health Insurance Patient Protection Act, or Privacy Protection Act. And that act says that you must have access to your medical records. And if you're a parent, you must have access to the records of your child. So I don't know how they're holding this back and refusing to release 911 calls and everything else. It sounds like there's almost some intrusion maybe from the White House on this. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm not sure if you're – well, I'm sure you're probably aware, but Wendy Olson, which is a U.S. Attorney General for Idaho, came out and made some very bold statements. It was basically a threat to Idaho citizens and, in my opinion, law enforcement officials. It basically said this, and I'll quote her, the spread of false information or inflammatory or threatening statements about the perpetrators or the crime itself reduces public safety and may violate public or federal law. If that's not a threat, I don't know what is. And then she mentions this prosecuting attorney by name. So I assume, I can't say for sure, but there has to be pressure from the feds on this. I have not heard a peep out of our senators, our Idaho state senators, or our representatives. And I would encourage anyone out there from Idaho to call our federal guys and ask them why they are silent on this issue. Number one, why are they silent to Wendy Olson's comments against Idaho? Is that how they protect us from the feds at the level they are? I mean, those guys get paid big bucks to do what they do. It's unacceptable. The silence is unacceptable, in my opinion.
Well, and the lack of getting her into victim services as well. I mean, there are certain things that could happen. As I understand it, I don't know if it occurred today or not yet, but one of the boys, at least, was still living in the same complex as this little girl.
So he still is. He was so there was a court hearing today, and most of it has been sealed. And I wrote down what I can say, and I can't seem to find it. He was released back out of the courtroom today. All three of the perpetrators are still living outside. They're not in a detention home. They're not in jail. They are still living in Twin Falls right now. So that's a big deal. When you have this little girl that is afraid to leave her home, she asked her mom daily, am I going to be safe today? And she's wearing two pairs of underpants out of fear of leaving her apartment complex. And the other thing, Matt, is this family, they don't have money. They are just a common family living in a city apartment, probably not by choice, just by situation. They don't have a ton of money. They have not even retained a good attorney at this point. And so I fear that they're going to slip through the system because elected officials and whoever else want this to just go away. It does not fit the narrative of the refugee program.
That's the whole thing. This is political correctness. Now, I have heard that there may have been some conversations from the White House, from specifically the Department of Justice, to the local prosecuting attorneys on this. You did mention Wendy Olson, and for the listeners, I don't want to spoil everything for Monday, but we got to understand who she is. This is the same person, Wendy Olson. This is the same person who threatened basically anybody that was speaking out against this. The same person who prosecuted Jeremy Hill, who was a 33-year-old, up in Bonners Ferry for shooting the grizzly bear. A lot of you probably remember that story. This is the same lady, okay, that prosecuted a guy for protecting four of his six kids who were playing outside when there was not just one, but three grizzly bears 40 yards away from where they were playing. And who, by the way, these grizzly bears got into the pig pen. I think they killed at least two of the pigs that were in the pig pen. Two of them were 4-H projects for these kids. And so he's protecting his family. I mean, legitimately protecting his family. And Wendy Olson, it was the person that tried to prosecute him for it. Ultimately, later, I believe the charges were dropped. But still, this is the same lady that went after the guy in Bonners Ferry for shooting the grizzly bear to protect his family. So just remember, just in context, who this person is.
Well, and I'll add something to that. Jan Reeves, who runs the Idaho Office of Refugees in our state of Idaho, in 2013 was awarded the Champion of Change Award from the Obama administration. She's the Champion of Change recipient. These are the people that have infiltrated our state.
It just keeps getting worse. As far as the family is concerned, how can people help the family out, help the little girl out down there? I know that they've set up a GoFundMe page, and there's some other ways that people can help. So if you could tell folks how they can do that.
You know, prayer is always best. Pray for this family. Pray for God to reveal the people that are not working for the citizens and working for their own interests. Pray that God exposes all that, all the corruptness down there in that community. And then the GoFundMe account is huge because this family doesn't even own a car. And I find that just so hard to fathom. But not that they're going to buy a car with the money. They need a lawyer. And we all know lawyers aren't cheap. And so they need a lawyer, and it's a GoFundMe account. I posted it on my Facebook. I don't know where else it's posted, but if you go to Heather Scott, and maybe I put it on Heather Scott for North Idaho, and maybe I'll just repost that. If you could just $5 or $10, it all adds up, and that would be one way. So,
wow. I think the other one is prayer too. I mean, this family has been through the mill. I mean, they didn't want to be part of any national spotlight, and yet here they are.
Mm-hmm. And it's not going away. The message I sent to the federal guys in my state, they better take a side pretty quick because this story is not going away. In my opinion, these boys, they're imitating what you've probably heard of are these Muslim grooming gangs. And I don't want to go down that rabbit trail. This is learned behavior. Little 7-year-old boys do not urinate in girls' mouths. and do the horrific alleged acts that they've done to this little girl. This is learned behavior, and it's just, it's sad that it's being pumped into our state and all across the country. With no,
we have, well, and let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about the refugee network that is out there. We've talked on the show before about the connection to George Soros, and that George Soros' New America Foundation was putting out the report that right-wing extremists were a greater threat than ISIS, and obviously not including massive amounts of terrorist attacks that have been foiled and other things to come up with their numbers in this alleged report. And to demonize right-wing folks, especially, and I hate the right-left paradigm, by the way, but that's what they call it, you know, demonize the right for being against immigration. And then on the same token, George Soros Foundation funds Janus, which is, interestingly, the two-headed god in Greek mythology, Roman Greek mythology, the face of duplicity, if you will. Literally, which also funds locally very important agency in your state. So if you could kind of take it from there, and then we also have World Relief here in Spokane, which has done a lot of good for Christian refugees, but has really kind of, I think, lost sight of some things as far as these other refugees are coming in from the Middle East.
You know, you could probably do a whole show on who's making money, how much money they're making, and all the groups involved, everybody lining their pockets, and there are lots of them. The way I look at this, and you hit it on the nail when you said Janus is this two-headed god, this is a spiritual battle, and the best way to deal with that is through the Word. And we need to be on our knees repenting for what we have allowed in this country and in our states, and what we've allowed, and we need to turn back to God and just pray for Him to intercede and expose this. I just started digging into this yesterday, and that's why I said I was a bit overwhelmed. I've got papers scattered. My husband's out of town. I got papers scattered all through my house, and notes here, and rabbit trails that I've followed here, and the money, and it's so complex. It's about as complex as Common Core, if any of your listeners have ever kind of gone down that route. It is well thought out. It's of Satan. This whole attack on our country is of Satan. And I truly believe that God's the only thing that's going to get us out of this mess, and we need to repent for our complacency up to this point and then get off our butts and start working. Making up for lost time.
Well, the Idaho Office of Refugees that has been kind of at the spearhead of this, again, is connected, and it's like three levels of contractual connection to George Soros. Very convoluted, like you said, the money trail is, but essentially the Idaho Office of Refugees to Janus, which was formerly the Mountain States organization, and then that is also contractually related to the HRC, and you know, they have this, I think it's the Human Resettlement Committee or something like that. Anyway, they name these things, and then they just funnel money through this, and it's not only complex, it's devious. It really is devious because people don't know where this is coming from, and the fact is also that there's a lot of federal money that is coming into the states to these organizations, these non-governmental organizations, to make sure that these refugees come in. And nobody seems to be talking a lot about that except for a few people on the national stage.
Well, and it's hard to get a lot of this information because it's bypassing state legislatures. It's going straight from the federal right to a nonprofit. And I haven't researched enough if we can go after these nonprofits and have some accountability with them, but that's really where the heart of this lies, is what will they do for money? These so-called Christian, and that's Christian with a K, organizations that are pretty much sold out to the federal government to get this big chunk of money that are not even allowed to share the truth or give a Bible to these refugees coming into a country, they've sold out. And they sold the citizens out.
They have sold the citizens out. They sold all of us out. And then, you know, as we've been talking about privately, and now it's public. I mean, the government is above the law now. That's what we're seeing with. But it wasn't. It's not just Hillary Clinton. I mean, there are so many local stories of the government being above the law that it's hard to keep up with. And I know you have a lot in Idaho.
Yes. And you know, just from this Twin Falls case, I just had a citizen say, this prosecuting attorney, so the first lawyer that this family got, they're having some issues with. They think, you know, maybe he's involved in the cover-up. So they've asked for their records up to date. That lawyer did not even give the records to the family that had paid for them. He turned them over to the prosecuting attorney. She said, how much control and power does this one man have? The hospitals are calling him to find out if they can release records. The lawyers are turning over documents to him. Everyone's dealing with this one man. And she said, what is his authority? And the problem is, Matt, most of us don't understand the system enough to know how to work within it to fix it. Because I think we've delegated a lot of our stuff we don't want to deal with because everyone hates politics and government. We just delegated that authority for someone else to deal with. And in doing that, we have empowered these elected officials to have way more authority than they should be allowed.
And it's interesting, too, that some of these lobby groups, you know, it's so interesting to me. The left always slams conservatives as being these moneyed, selfish, greedy people. And yet the left almost always has a lot more money raised than we do in campaigns and elections. And then comes down to Olympia or Boise and really tries to bully people. And when you stand up to them, then they try to smear you or make stories up about you or mischaracterize your conversations to make you look like you're some sort of a unhinged person because they disagree with you. And it's amazing that it works almost like clockwork the way that they do this progression. You know, they bully first, and if you stand up to them, then they escalate and they escalate and they escalate. And you've experienced that as well. And I wanted to highlight that because it's not just in government. It's these other organizations that are kind of in the shadows behind the government as well.
And I'll tell you this, they are the minority, they are emotional wrecks, and they are very vocal, and they speak out of this emotion, so they're just freaking out. And so first they try to marginalize you. That's what they did to me, like, oh, she's nobody, she's never been involved in politics. And when that doesn't work and they find out, no, she's not going to back down, then they try to demonize you. And right now, I know you've been demonized, and I've been demonized. And when that doesn't work, then they try to litigate you. I've had, you know, false claims like, hey, she's done this and she's done that. That's next. And then once they can't get that, then they try to criminalize you. And you know, this is just the steps of the left. And I think they're too dumb to figure this out. That's why I think, you know, it's a good versus evil thing. It's satanic.
It really is.
Far out there, but it is.
No, it ultimately comes down to that. I mean, it's good versus evil. It's a grand conspiracy of evil. It really is. And I think some people don't even realize, you know, that they have been sucked into it. And it's, you know, they follow this. And I really appreciate the, you know, what you're talking about. First, there's marginalization, then there's demonization, then now there's litigation. And there's criminalization, then there's incarceration, then there's extermination. And that those are the steps of true hate from those people that have analyzed this over the course of history. This is what happens in every society. And we're just seeing it again. Unfortunately, we're the initial brunt of it. Huh?
Yeah, that's okay. We got a big God.
We do. And you know, obviously, it's going to take all of us to help restore a God-honoring constitutional republic. If people want to get involved in your campaign, they want to pray for you, they want to help you out, volunteer, just maybe send you well wishes. How can they do that, Heather?
Well, you know what? I hate to ask for it, but I'm going to ask for it this term because they're coming after me hard and heavy. So if you'd like to donate to my campaign, you can drop a check in the mail to Box 134, Blanchard, Idaho, 83804. And all my information is at VoteHeatherScott.com. And then if you want to get more into the political side of things instead of the campaign side, I've got a RepHeatherScott.com. And that's how you can get connected through the state to know what's going on, sign up for my newsletters, and you'll be blown away because I expose it all. And I get lots of pushback from Boise, but I expose everything I see that's corrupt and out of line. And the next thing I'm working on is this link with these legislators with the Turkish government. And they're flying our state legislators and mayors and people from all around our state to Turkey for some odd reason. But that's just a little hint of what's coming. I like to keep them guessing.
So I like to keep
Boise wondering.
So, you know, they tried this a couple years ago in Washington State. So literally, it's a junket. So they're taking legislators and other elected officials and flying them to Turkey because for trade? I mean, what's...
To build relationships would be my guess. So why does anyone do anything for you when you're a legislator? Because they want something. That's my guess. They want something. So, I don't know, to be continued. We're digging into it.
Very interesting. Yeah, I don't want you to give away too much. So, well, if you had a message for young people that are out there that are listening, they're like, man, this doesn't look good for our future, all the things that are happening, government being above the law, just this continual erosion of every God-given inalienable right. And by the way, I want to clarify that. There are only two ways you can lose an unalienable right. That is, one, if you die, and two, if you voluntarily give it up. So we are allowing, like you said at the beginning, we are allowing this erosion to happen all over the country. If you had a message for young people, what would it be on that point?
Well, I would say this. You young people can get away with a lot more than us older people can get away with because you're young and you can just act like you don't know better. So you can speak very loud and bluntly and call people out on their actions, and they don't know how to react. So I would encourage you to understand an issue enough to hold your elected officials accountable, to go to these meetings, find out what they're doing, and then question them on it. That's what I would encourage them this week to do. I can think of lots of things, but that would be one thing. Shadow them. Follow them. Blog about them. Let them know that people are watching. The next generation is watching, and they have a duty to protect to protect your rights and to push back against any attempts to infringe upon them.
Wow. Very well said. If you could, once again, if people want to get a hold of you, go to your website, volunteer, donate. Where can they go?
VoteHeatherScott.com, or you can always call me, 208-920-3120. It's all on my website. All right, thanks.
Yep, take care, Heather. God bless. And Heather Scott, representative from Idaho, VoteHeatherScott.com. Check her out, doing a great job over there fighting for freedom and liberty and also fighting for the people, and especially this horrific event down in Twin Falls with this 5-year-old girl, just absolutely horrific. And then the way the family's been treated in the aftermath by some of the local elected officials is just appalling. I can't even fathom that anybody would do that sort of horrible treatment to a family that has gone through something like that in the name of political correctness. But that's exactly what it looks like. That's exactly what it looks like. And, you know, I think we're, you know, once again seeing that, you know, political correctness, that this one elite group of people is above the law and really doesn't care about people, but cares about controlling people. You know, cares about taking all of the wealth and centralizing it, all the power and centralizing it, all of the jurisdiction and authority and centralizing it. And, you know, as Americans, the very simple answer to almost everything is decentralization of control. It just is, because as human beings, we're flawed and sinful. And the founding fathers recognized that. That's why they had one large republic made up of smaller republics, the states, made up of arguably even smaller republics, the counties, so that there would be this decentralization of control. And we need to learn, we need to reclaim that, that we can share messages, and we can share ideas, and we can do those things on kind of a bigger level, centralized, but control should not be centralized. It should be decentralized. And when it is centralized, people who are pursuing the lust of power view that as an opportunity to take advantage of people and take over. And we begin to see a massive loss of freedom. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing what is, in effect, lawlessness. The government is above the law. Even though at the founding of this country, there was no king but King Jesus, the law was king. And Lex Rex needs to become a motto of all of us again. It really does. And we need to be so bold, and energized that we create assemblies in every county across the state of Washington, in Idaho and Montana, and other parts of the Western United States. So that instead of worrying about bureaucrats coming, we can say the Americans are coming to restore God-honoring constitutional republic. This is Matt Shea. Thank you very much for joining me today. May God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one.